I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. It's Thursday, November 5th. And welcome to The Memo. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke.
Hi.
How you doing, Brad?
I got my teeth cleaned this morning.
We weren't even going to... No, you're just setting me up now. I wasn't even going to say anything. You doing something different with your teeth?
No.
Your hair's a little higher than usual.
It is a little bit spiky.
Did you stick your finger in an electrical socket of some sort?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Afraid not.
It looks good. I mean, at least you can do it. I can't do much with this.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a chia pet.
Chia pet. Get the chia head. Wasn't that an old SNL skit?
This turned into a very depressing episode of The Memo. Right out of the gate today. How are we doing? It's Thursday.
It is Thursday. We mentioned that. Last show of the week.
We're getting into the weekend. Mm-hmm. What looks like it might be a rainy bit of a weekend.
Yeah, moving football games up because of that. Some high school games being played tonight, in fact. So
college games being played.
Yeah,
just
that
one.
Was already scheduled. MSU at Mizzou.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That will be happening tonight. Has Tupelo been moved?
Tupelo is playing tonight against Olive Branch, and I believe they have to win to get into the playoffs.
I see. Well, so, as far as the rain goes, we're looking at it all the way pretty much through the weekend, going into Monday with 40% chance, 60% chance, 60% chance, just all over the place.
It was foggy as heck this morning.
It was foggy. Thankfully, most of what we're looking at for the tornadoes and stuff are falling more into Texas and not hitting near us.
That's good. It needs to be cold and dry. It's November. I don't know what's going on here.
It's fine.
I don't like it.
I'm wearing shorts.
I hate
really
rain.
Not. Regardless, it is a dry November. Or it's not dry, but it is a warm. It's not brisk, as you expect. What are you laughing at now? Your hair?
No, you.
Oh, okay.
It's dry. Well, it's not dry. Well,
he threw me off. He started laughing maniacally.
Today's weather brought to you by Derek Russell.
That's fine.
He does not have a
degree. You can see him here in the western region.
He does not have a degree in meteorology.
This is what they do, right? They stand in front of a green thing here and they point.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do a whole lot more than that. I'm just saying there's a green thing.
That would always throw
us.
Me off because they're like, obviously there's nothing actually behind them but a green screen, but they got the monitor over there, but they have to know exactly where to point, and I would just be all over
looking,
the place.
They can look where they're.
I'd still mess it up. I'd even be like, wait, which hand?
I had to take a meteorology class in college in journalism because.
But that was fun.
There's no print journalism at Mississippi State. You just have to take the same classes that broadcast journalism takes. A semester of meteorology.
Got to hang out with a bunch of TV people.
Uh-huh. And I don't have the face for that. That's why I'm on radio.
Yeah. Same.
And even that's a little bit too much. Usually I'm just good with words on a page. Let's not put my voice out anywhere.
Or at least you're fully dressed. So.
Without a smile.
What?
It's an Annie song.
Annie. Yeah. Oh,
Broadway.
Yeah.
You never fully dressed.
I've seen the movie.
Smile. Okay. Well,
a long time ago.
How old are you?
39. I've seen the movie. I haven't seen the play.
That's fun. It's in the movie too.
I've seen the movie. I saw the movie like 30-something years ago.
It's a good one. You should revisit with your children. It's timeless.
I hate musicals.
Okay, moving on. Brad's just full of joy this morning. I can't blame you. If I'd been to the dentist, too, I'd be in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kept poking my gums with a sharp instrument.
You didn't punch anybody on the way in, did you?
Not yet.
Well, that's good. Look at me. He's the one laughing at you. Chris Kiefer across the table over there.
Well, at least I'm not mad enough to... You know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Don't go there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't talk about that on this show.
Okay.
That's bad.
Okay, cool.
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
No, you can't. Or fire in a crowded building.
Movie theater, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Don't yell movie in a firehouse either. That just confuses people. Well, we have a lot to talk about today. Zach Orsborn is going to be joining us to talk about something cool going on in New Albany as well at ICC campus in Tupelo later tonight if the weather keeps it on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Backyard astronomy.
Cool.
Bobby Harrison joining us live via satellite.
Yeah, and we have a special treat for listeners today.
We may indeed.
Yes,
indeed. And we're not talking about Scott Morris. Although Scott Morris will be joining us.
Yes.
And we'll wrap it up with some stuff for you to do this weekend in Tupelo and the surrounding areas. So let's get at it. All right, we're joined by Zach Orsborn now, who's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on in New Albany as they, Well, tell us about it, Zach. It's not really a contest as much as it is a vote to see if they can get a grant to bring in new musical acts to the area.
Yeah, it's the Levitt Amp Grant, and it's a $25,000 grant for a 10-weekend live music series. Right now, they're in the top five for the contest out of 40 cities. And voting ends November 3rd, and you can go vote on grant.levittamp.org. If they win, they'll find out January 5th, 2016.
Well, that's a good time to find out. I'm glad it's not 2017. That'd be a long time. Right. What are the, do they've got plans on what they want to do if this proposal goes through? I mean, obviously, I'm sure they're not booking lineups just in case, but what's some of the plans with the proposal if they were to get it?
They want to kind of have it like a buffet of music. That's what Sean Johnson said, the marketing director for this New Albany. And to get a sample of all kinds of music, it wouldn't just be like 10 country bands. They would get a variety of genres, and they kind of want to use it to see how what kind of music works in their city and what kind of music doesn't, just because they want to continue building their music scene.
How did New Albany come to get with this? Because there's a lot of places up for this, but I mean, Clarksdale's up for it. Delta State University is trying to get it as well. So yeah. What were kind of the logistics of getting into this?
They had to...
Oxford as well, excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, Oxford. The acceptance of the proposal was determined by accessibility, location, and general quality of life, reputation of the city. Sean Johnson talked a lot about in the proposal Riverfest, which he organizes. So that was kind of an example of quality of life that he put in the proposal to get in the top five.
So how does it just the number one vote gets it? I mean, what, how does it have to be in the top three and then go to some other finalist situation?
There's going
to
be 25 finalists, and the people from Levitt will come down and review the city and kind of look around. And 15, there's going to be 15 winners. So hopefully New Albany is one of those.
It'd be great if New Albany and Oxford were to both get it in that lineup then with 15 different winners. Mm-hmm. And that you may have said the amount of money is for how much?
$25,000.
$25,000. Mm-hmm. That can go a long way with musical acts, especially for helping out Riverfest at Park Along the River each summer. So it's a good deal. You also had a story about Itawamba Community College hosting a backyard astronomy event in today's paper, actually, in Thursday's paper. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what they're planning to do with that.
Bob Swanson, he's the physical science instructor, and he sets out some telescopes and to allow the community to look at some constellations. And if the weather is bad, they're going to have a mobile planetarium from Ole Miss, so people can go in there and still see some stars and stuff like that.
I was going to say, as cloudy as it's been, that might be problematic. Yeah. When's that going
to
be?
That's tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. And he said you don't have to come necessarily at 6. You can come anytime. There's going to be like 30-minute phases.
Intervals going on, yeah. And it's open for anybody who wants to come join.
He said ideally non-students, so kind of as like a recruiting tool.
And that is on the ICC campus?
Yeah, ICC Tupelo campus.
ICC Tupelo campus,
the Health Science Education Center.
That's a great thing to do. Again, I hope it's not too cloudy and they can actually enjoy it. But the mobile planetarium is a cool thing, too. So yeah, it's kind of six and one, half dozen in the other. You get two cool experiences either way.
Yeah, it should be fun.
All right. Zach, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Okay, let's welcome Bobby Harrison into the show, the Capitol Bureau reporter down in Jackson for the Journal. Bobby, welcome in.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Tuesday, of course, was Election Day, and it was a big day for the Republicans, a lot of their incumbents retaining their seat. And looking at the House, they're very close to getting a supermajority, and House Speaker Philip Gunn is actually openly campaigning for at least one Democrat to switch parties and give the Republicans that 3/5 supermajority. So, Bobby, can you kind of fill us in a little bit on that situation and what that would mean?
Sure. He met Speaker Gunn met with the media Wednesday afternoon, and you know, as it stands now, it appears that the Republicans are going to have 73 members, maybe 72 or 73 members in the 122 member House. There's one race that is still in doubt, though. The Republicans have the slightest of leads in that particular race, and if they hold on to that race, they're going to have 73 votes, or 73 members, which would give them one short of 74 members, which is would be three-fifths majority in a 122-member House. And what the significance of that is that, well, mainly revenue bills. It takes a three-fifths majority to pass a revenue bill. And, of course, revenue bill is a tax cut or a tax increase, or a tax cut would be more likely that the Republicans would be looking to try to pass during the next four-year term, or bond bills, you know, where they issue bonds to finance long-term construction projects at university campuses and whatnot. Those usually pass pretty handily with bipartisan support, but they would theoretically, if they got those 74 members, they could pass those revenue bills without a without any support from the Democrats if all the Republicans held together and voted in a block. And during the meeting with the media yesterday afternoon, Speaker Gunn didn't hide the fact that he would welcome talking to a Democrat or more than one Democrat about switching parties, and he even sort of joked about the significance of being number 74, as if that would be, yeah, you know, something that'd be important that might put that 74th vote in good stead with the House leadership. So that'd be sort of an undercurrent going into the 2016 session, which starts in January, about whether the Republicans are going to have 72 members if the Democrats are able to scratch up that election down in the Piney Woods in my close to my home area, Brad, down in Smith County and Jasper County, or whether they're going to have 73 members if the Republicans win that election, or if they're going to have 74 members or more that they convince some Democrats to switch parties. But right now, it's safe to say the Republicans are feeling pretty heady and good about where they stand, regardless of what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Bobby, this is Chris. Quick question: as he's trying to entice someone to switch parties, do you think that are there any committee chairmanships that are up for grabs, or do you think there'll be any kind of incentive like that?
Well, you know, each 4-year term, at the beginning of each 4-year term, the presiding officer, the Speaker in the House, or the Lieutenant Governor in the Senate, traditionally that's when they make committee assignments, appoint members to committees, and appoint committee chairs. Yesterday, when we asked Speaker Gunn about committee chairs, he cut us off pretty quickly and said he did not discuss committee assignments with members until January, so he wouldn't be discussing them with us.
Sure. Either.
So, but you know, theoretically, he could change any committee assignment, including chairmanship, he wanted when the new 4-year term begins in January. There's a couple of openings caused by retirements, but and traditionally the speaker will keep his key chairman from one term to the next the same, but it's not unprecedented for a presiding officer to make some committee to change some committees up when the new 4-year term begins. So we just have to see. He did say that he wanted to keep Greg Snowden as Speaker, Republican from Meridian, who was real active in defeating Initiative 42. He wanted to keep him as as House Pro Tem, sort of second in command. And that position is actually voted on by the membership, but the speaker's endorsement would carry a lot of weight.
I'm curious, Bobby, you know, I mean, you've got plenty of Democrats in Mississippi that would be considered conservative, at least by national standards. Are there any candidates that you can think of that might be likely to switch?
There's several. I would not feel comfortable mentioning anybody without talking to them.
Sure.
But I mean, it's safe to say that there's several conservative Democrats throughout the state who might be in that boat. But you know, it may happen. But you know, the flip side of that is, you know, the Democratic ranks are getting pretty small, and the ones who are left, you know, you might say are pretty loyal Democrats. So, you know, at some point it's going to get harder to get members to switch. You know, you go back, Brad and Chris, at the beginning of the 2008 session, the 2008 4-year term, Republicans had roughly, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, roughly 45 members in the House. Of the 122 members, 45 or so were Republicans. By the end of that term, through switches and maybe a couple of special elections, they were up to, I think, 57. During the 2011 election, the Republicans finished, you know, after that election or while the votes were counted, they had 63 members, you know, they had a, you know, essentially a, or excuse me, 62 members. They had a one vote a majority. Less than a week after the election, Donnie Bell from over Fulton switched, who ran as a Democrat, switched to the Republican Party to give them 63 members. Currently they have 67, and when the new term begins in January, they're going to have, you know, as we discussed, anywhere 72 members. So it's been a steady increase in Republican membership in the House over the last several years.
Real quick, Bobby, let's touch on the education funding situation. Of course, Initiative 42 was defeated on Tuesday. And those who opposed it, like Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves and Philip Gunn, who we were just talking about, said that they still, you know, they want more funding for education, and they admire the, quote, passion of the Initiative 42 supporters. I guess the question is, going forward, if, you know, if the Initiative 42 opponents really do want full funding of education, is there a way for them to get on the same page with the folks who are trying to get Initiative 42 passed?
Well, I mean, you know, you could still argue that, you know, it's the law that MAEP is supposed to be fully funded. So,
sure.
I've heard members who are opposed to, you know, key members who are of the legislature who are opposed to Initiative 42 say that they did support full funding over a period of time. So, I mean, it's just, you know, we'll just have to wait to see what happens.
All right. Bobby Harrison, follow him on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Appreciate your time.
All right. You guys take care.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, it's Thursday. You know what that means. It means Scott Morris is in the house. Scott, what's up?
Hey, this is my favorite time of the week, my chance to make this podcast great again.
You know it is. You've got a movie review for us today, and the movie this week is Our Brand is Crisis. It's a political, what, thriller or just...
No, not really. It's a thriller, kind of a political drama. Just you follow a campaign in Bolivia. Sandra Bullock stars as Jane, kind of a... She's a ruthless campaign consultant who gets involved in a scandal kind of, you know, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, and she's been out of the game for a while, but she's pulled back in to go down to Bolivia to help this guy, you know, maybe win, but he's trailing horribly in the polls. So she basically uses every dirty trick she's ever learned.
And it's also got Billy Bob Thornton and the candidate that you mentioned that she's helping, Castillo, played by Joaquin D. Almeida, who the only thing I really know him from is Desperado, which was a good movie.
Yeah, he shows up. You reckon this guy?
I've seen him.
I recognize. I never put a name to. That's probably xenophobia on my part.
I've seen him in other stuff, but that's like the only thing I remember him from.
Yeah, I'll bet he's going to be in 33. That Miners thing with, but I'm just guessing. You know.
Yeah, maybe so.
I imagine they pulled every Hispanic actor for that. Probably. Everyone you've ever seen will be in that movie, possibly.
I've noticed that in Hollywood, they'll do that sometimes with ethnic actors. They'll be like, oh well, we need this ethnicity, we'll just go get this guy.
It's the same guy. In this movie, Jane was supposed to be played by George Clooney. But obviously it wasn't going to be Jane. Sandra Bullock went looking for movies that they could change the sex of the main character and get her in. And so...
Good choice either way.
Sandra Bullock is a fine actress to watch. She is a movie star, and she's got that charisma to where... Even in a movie that's not so great, which this is not so great, Our Brand is Crisis, still, her movie star appeal, perhaps, I don't know if it's all acting ability. Maybe it is. Maybe it's all skill. Yeah. But I think there's a whole lot of just natural something that she's fun to watch on screen. And this movie has a lot of interesting moments, some great laugh-out-loud moments, very cynical moments about the election process that they're applying to Bolivia but probably applies to ours.
Right.
And I was wondering... If this is really how political operatives work behind the scenes, did they exaggerate it to make it more interesting, or contrarily, did they tone things down a little bit to make it believable?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows what's going on the other side once the campaign bus door closes?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Sandra Bullock and Billy Bob Thornton, I mentioned, two great actors. I love both of them. And kind of their scenes together had a you know, you didn't give the movie a very high grade, but as far as their scenes together, they play off each other pretty well.
They really do, and it's sort of like it's a mind game going on, and then it happens several times throughout the movie where Billy Bob Thornton's character, Pat Candy, will sit next to her and come up to her, and they'll have this conversation that's all friendly and no yelling, no threats, just pleasant conversation, but by the end of it, somebody's mind has been screwed with. That's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could have gone that well more to make this better. My main problem is with, again, and it might be the acting, it might be the story itself, is with the transition of Jane overall. It seemed like the ending was just very tacked on. It's right. Like, okay, and to me, I went in thinking that, well, she's probably going to be redeemed, you know, because that's what kind of happens.
Right.
But to me, I didn't feel like there was enough along the way to make me think her end point was worthwhile.
Okay, maybe it wasn't authentic.
Yeah, I mean, I think they might push the load. They also had this weird thing to where she did some things in the movie where you're thinking, oh, this could be trouble, you know. So you're thinking, should I be concerned here, have anxiety for her? But they already showed us video of her, like, at the end of whatever's happened here. So she knows she doesn't get hurt. Yeah. And so it kind of takes away, I think, some of that storytelling power. And that interview didn't really serve any purpose positively. So that was a failing. But that said, not a horrible movie, a watchable movie. A movie to watch on maybe on Redbox or on the streaming service of your choice or on cable if you're in the 20th century like myself. But I give it a C+.
Okay.
I don't think I would pay full price for it unless you just must see Sandra Bullock on screen.
Well, you know, some people might need that. My wife, by the way, huge Sandra Bullock fan. That's like her woman crush is Sandra Bullock. And who can blame her?
She was in like a Sylvester Stallone movie the first time I saw
Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's brought from the past.
That and Speed. One of those was the first time I saw her.
Yeah, I think mine was Demolition Man, I think. And ever since then, and in Gravity, she was amazing.
Oh, yeah, she was. Love her. Okay, y'all can read Scott's review in today's journal and at djournal.com. Scott, always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for giving me a chance to make this podcast great again.
Anytime. Okay, so, Derek, what's going on this weekend?
A plenty, Brad. I'm glad you asked.
A plethora of events?
A plethora of events. Would you say I have a plethora of sweaters?
I don't know how many sweaters you have.
That's a quote from The Three Amigos. Thanks for joining
us. Oh, man, I haven't seen that movie in forever.
That's a good movie.
It is.
Would you say I have a plethora of sweaters? If you were a Disney fan, Pied Piper's doing a live stage version of 101 Dalmatians at Milam School this weekend.
Cool.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's got about 45 kids in the cast.
Wow, big it's like herding cats.
Actually, it's dogs. It's 101 Dalmatians. So
dogs are easier to herd, though. So the metaphor I'm going for here is,
don't want to miss that. 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sunday. $7 for adults and $5 for kids. That's at Milam Auditorium with 101 Dalmatians. The Peanuts movie comes out this weekend.
Mm,
I'm excited.
Me too, I guess. I mean,
What?
Well, I've always loved the Peanuts.
Yes, but...
But if Charles Schulz is not involved, obviously he can't be. I don't know.
He is beyond the grave.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's fine. Everything I've read said they captured the spirit.
Well, that's good. That's the important part.
Yes, okay. Okay. Well, that's good. Gumtree Museum's got a Art of Photography exhibit.
Ooh.
Opening reception for that tonight. It will be there through November 27th, I believe, the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's 55, more than 50 photographs from Southern Light Photography Group. It's a regional photography club. Members from Tupelo, New Albany, West Alabama, the plethora. Today's Pee Wee's secret word is plethora. Scream every time you hear it. So check that out at the Gumtree Museum of Art. The opening reception today is at 6 p.m. You can actually talk to the photographers, and some of the pieces are up for sale.
Plethora.
That's good. Tupelo Storytellers.
Plethora.
Tupelo,
yeah, yeah.
Tupelo Storytellers tomorrow night at the Link Center with themed around gravy.
Gravy.
Thanksgiving food.
Interesting. J.B. Clark, a former Journal employee, is one of the people behind that.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Good group. Go and listen to stories or share stories about, they have a different theme each month. This one revolving around Thanksgiving.
Rod's behind that too, correct?
Rod does have a hand.
Rod Wajardo, well. the journal editor. That's right. So yeah, it's good time.
I'm not going to talk about my column, but that's okay. We'll just
we can't talk about that on the show.
It's fine. It's fine. Disney on Ice, probably the other big thing going on this weekend at the Bancorp South Arena. A time of celebration.
Yeah, if you have Disney daughters like I do, it's a good. I've taken them a couple
kids
of times.
Too, it's boys too. Well, boys too. Daughters.
But I'm
sure
a dude.
Chris is taking the
I'm a dude, and I just didn't really enjoy it that much.
The daughter's going tonight. I don't have to. I've got play practice.
Lucky you.
Well, some people are supposed to be joining me for play practice, but they bailed on me.
Some people tend to overcommit.
Lockie.
No, he called me Lockie again. It's like old times.
I earned one. You bailed on me. You left me in the lurch.
Sorry.
But anyway, of course, Disney.
What happened to your acting career? You're trying to get started.
I've still.
He showed up, and I was like, "Go home. You're useless. You'll never make it, kid. You don't have the chops.
This
you
was
don't
just
have what it takes.
This is just a bad busy week, and now it's probably too late to join up. Let me adjust my chair.
Excuses. When is the right time? Yesterday, you said tomorrow. Is that how the saying goes?
Don't know.
Isn't that how it goes?
Never heard that.
What is it? Hold on, I really want to know now.
Oh, now we're gonna Google.
I've heard if you wait for the right time, it'll never happen.
Isn't that a Nike thing? Oh yeah. Yesterday you said tomorrow, so just do it.
Oh okay. I don't know.
That means you said you would do it today, but you're not.
I did not.
I see such spark in you, such light, Brad Locke. That might just be the electricity coming off your hair where you put your finger in the socket, but I'm not entirely sure. So, of course, check that out, Bancorp South Arena. Range of ticket prices there from $15 probably up to over $50 for VIP tickets.
Yeah, it'll clean out your wallet in a hurry. But hey,
that's
good
the
show.
Merchandise. That's the merchandise.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
Last year we wanted popcorn. Uh-huh. We just wanted popcorn.
Did you get it in a bag, or did you get it in a
Mickey's? Well, that was the problem. Yeah,
something.
I saw that the $15 popcorn and Mickey's head. I was like, oh, we don't need
more
that.
I
we
paid
just
more
want
popcorn than
popcorn.
I did the ticket.
So I went to the concession stand, but they said they're not allowed to sell popcorn there in bags.
No, you got to get it from Disney.
So we got nachos instead.
Yeah.
Disney popcorn is special, I guess.
Carrying out the jalapeno theme of the week with nachos. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. But before we go, we've got one little special nugget for you. Brad, tell us again, if you remember on Monday's episode during the tip sheet, we discussed a crime report involving milk.
Yes, we did. There was a man at a North Gloucester motel.
I called the hotel on the show without knowing
Scottish
it.
Inns.
Scottish Inns.
He called 911, I believe, multiple times.
Yeah, I didn't call anybody. I could have just called that he was called 911.
Yeah, this guy called 911 because he had this cat that really, really needed some milk.
It did. It needed milk.
It needed it now. This was like, what, 2 in the morning? I forget.
It was after midnight.
And he ended up getting arrested for abuse of 911. That was the charge.
Yeah,
and
I believe he's serving a week in jail for misuse of 911. But we have obtained audio from a local business that the gentleman also called.
Yes.
And this is not a reenactment. This is the...
This is real.
This is real.
Believe it or not.
Of the gentleman in the quest for Indiana Jones and the quest for milk that evening from the Scottish Inns. Here you go.
Hello, my name is... I'm an MD man over here in Tupelo for the last a little over a week or two. I'm in room 120 at the Scottish Inn. I've got a cat that I allowed in here, and I've got foot problems, gouty arthritis, et cetera, plantar fasciitis. All this mess going on, I got to check out tomorrow. I'm homeless and broke, sir. Now, I just need a little bit of milk assistance, for this cat that I newly adopted. I don't know if he's a male or a female. If he's a male, he's going to be named Smokey. Female's going to be named, well, maybe Bandit, but I don't even know how to check for that because of this situation. The cat is just clawing and fighting and resisting every maneuvers that I try to make. I just got back on a taxi cab service ride back from the ambulance service at the hospital. Now, I mean, sir, I am serious, okay? I need some serious, dire emergent medical assistance. And if you could please call me at the Scottish Inn number. If they answer, they answer. If they don't, I just don't have a cell phone to answer your phone calls with.
Well, how about
some of the things sound so outlandish that you say they're sometimes hard to believe. Like, I know the area we live in, it they happen, obviously, but when you have actual evidence of it, it makes it that much more.
What's weird, he sounds completely...
Not drunk,
mm-hmm. and sane. He just sounds, he's talking in a normal voice, like, hey, this is something I need, hello. This is legit.
Very concerned about the felines.
He is, which, you know, that give him points for that, being concerned about this cat he found.
The ambient music is great.
Yeah, what song is that? I've recognized it.
We fell in love in a hopeless place. Is that the title?
I have no idea.
That's the main lyric.
You dropped a bomb on me. So anyway, good times. I hope you enjoyed that.
What time of the night was this? Well, we don't know this call, but which time was the 911?
Oh yeah, it was around 2 a.m. Yeah,
again, from a local business, but and it was real.
Given what has happened in Tupelo around 2 a.m. this week, nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
No, it does not.
It's just a bad idea.
Yeah,
stay in your hotel room at the Scottish Inns and don't call 911.
Yeah, it just
don't visit Walmart. Just stay far away.
If you can't get the cat milk, just give him some water. It'll be fine.
Go to bed. All right. Well, we're going to be back again on Monday. We want to remind you about the Bridal Journal Expo going on November 15th. That's a Sunday in Verona at the Kingfisher Lodge. You can register at bridaljournal.ms/expo. I don't need that. I know it. You can register at bridaljournal.ms/expo. A host of treats for that day. Yeah, consultations, VIP packages, grand prize worth over $1,000. Not to mention other door prizes. But it's if you got a wedding coming up, it's a good idea to go check things out. They've got different booths with florists and different clients you can talk to there. So cool. Good times.
And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, need to remind y'all to check out the Daily Journal's newest podcast, Double Coverage. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday, so we'll have one this afternoon. And they'll provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis. You can check it out at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Find it on iTunes or your local podcast app. And MSU, again, is playing tonight against Missouri. So Logan will be talking about that, and then Parrish will be discussing Ole Miss against Arkansas on Saturday. And let us also remind y'all about Thrive Marketing. It's a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. I use Thrive.
You do.
I do.
Check us out at D Journal Memo on the Twitter, and our official Twitter for djournal.com is at djournalnow. You can find us online, memo.djournal.com. We'll be back on Monday.
See y'all then.